This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, April 12, 2023, Wednesday in the Octave of Easter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? May the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
These words of the disciples, that our hearts burn within us when he opened to us the Scriptures. Our Lord, they walked with him for years. They were his disciples, closer to him than anybody, except maybe the apostles, but they weren't far from them because they considered themselves, as they said, in their company. They knew Jesus Christ. They knew this one, Jesus of Nazareth. They shared his story with someone that they thought was a stranger. They knew Jesus, but they did not recognize him. This kind of speaks to folks who have an understanding or an idea of our Lord. They might know propositions. They might have a personal relationship with him. Sometimes that's not enough. It's not enough because if we rely on ourselves, we rely on our own understanding of things, problems arise in a proper understanding of Jesus Christ. We can, and there are many billions of people who do go to this religious body and that religious body and this, and they think they know God. Some of them actually speak of Christ and they think they know Jesus, but they don't. We got people that use the word Jesus and he's not the eternal Son of God. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't look at him as the eternal Son of God. He's a great prophet. He's the spirit brother of Lucifer, all this other stuff that they come up with. They know the name, they know the propositions, but they don't know Jesus Christ. And it can even be his own disciples. This is what we learn from this. Jesus doesn't like it. This kind of pulls the rug right out from under all this. Well, they're seeking in their own way and in their own understanding and of the goodness of their hearts. That's all well and good, but it's not enough. It is tremendously insufficient. Our Lord, in his response to them not knowing him, you really look at it, our Lord doesn't correct them. He doesn't admonish them. He berates them. He berates them. Oh, you foolish and slow of heart. At least he churched up the part where he said, dim-witted. Slow of heart to understand what the Scriptures have spoken. Jesus berates them for not knowing him. They should know him. He berates them, but then he explains. We always got, that's that Holy Spirit's conviction of sin part. None of us likes to be convicted of sin. Nobody likes to be told that they, maybe up to this point, they had some of it wrong. The Easter Vigil, seven people confirmed in the church. Seven. Five of which were adults. They came from First Baptist Orlando. They came from absolutely no religious background whatsoever. Had a couple Episcopalians, another Baptist. We had them from all over the place. They all knew of Jesus. There is no doubt that they knew of Jesus. They loved Jesus, but they didn't understand him. They didn't know who he was until the switch got thrown, and all of a sudden, they need to become Catholics. This is our Lord explaining things to them. Now, how he explained it, he's got all kinds of different vehicles. You know, younger people search online, older people read books about things like that. Some people go ask people this, that, or the other thing, or they just come visit a Catholic church because they're curious. But however the Holy Spirit works, he explains the deeper things of the faith. He explains to them, and sometimes you could go berating. Because, again, it's a very difficult thing for a person, speaking of one who's 25 years out of the church plus, and then going through this, that, the other thing on my way back to the church. I had to eat crows several times. Several times. You used to say this. You used to say, I used to get extra credit in seminary for bad-mouthing Catholics. I mean that in all sincerity. I get a little notes on it. This is excellent. You know, he called them Romanists. He called them Papists. And they, you know, they like that kind of stuff. Then the Holy Spirit explains things. After he explains things, then he reveals himself in the breaking of bread. One of the folks who was confirmed, I could tell like several weeks ago, they would speak of their desire for the Eucharist. And as the time got closer, every time this person came up to the altar rail to receive a blessing, there were more tears. There were more tears. This person was so emotional at their baptism because they were baptized and brought into the church. It was obvious to other people because other people said, it's so nice to see somebody who is obviously so overwhelmed by what's going on, they can't keep their tears to themselves. That is our Lord revealing himself in the breaking of bread. And before she could even receive, she is crying just in anticipation of receiving our Lord. This is tremendous. And this is when I see things like this in our day and age, that this stuff becomes more and more real for me. And it should become more and more real for each and every one of us. This is how our Lord works. We get some kind of an understanding some way, cultural, through family, whatever, through reading your own stuff. But then our Lord, after the conviction that you don't know what you thought you did, that berating, then he explains, and then he reveals himself. And after he does that, then the reaction is, man, I was so stupid before. They're just happy about having been moved on by the Holy Spirit. For him and having opened their eyes, that did not our hearts burn within us when he opened the scriptures to us? Because what our Lord explained to them from the scriptures, and when you talk the script, or did our hearts not burn with us when he opened the scriptures to us? They are talking about the Old Testament. Not one word of the New Testament had been written at the time this happened. Not one word. So the scriptures talking about the Old Testament. This is why I'm always emphasizing. You need to know the Old Testament. You need to know it because you don't have a firm grasp of the new unless you know the foundation from the old. You don't know who God and Christ and the Holy Spirit really are until you know all of the story, not just the new warm and fuzzy New Testament part of it, the whole thing. Because when you learn and you deepen your understanding, your heart is going to burn within you because you understand more about Jesus. And when our Lord opens the scriptures to them, what does he talk about? They don't recognize him as our Lord. Their eyes are shut because of their ignorance. And our Lord explains to them, in a nutshell, if he had not died, he could not be the Christ. Because why are they walking on their way, talking, and they are sad? Why are they sad? Because the Lord's dead. And they even admit, we thought he was going to be the one who redeemed Israel. We thought he might even be the Messiah. But he's dead now. Oh, you foolish and slow of heart. Was it not obvious from the scripture that Christ had to die to enter into his glory? I mean, it's crystal clear in Isaiah. They didn't have eyes to see and ears to hear this thing. Well, you know, back in the day, and the apostles, well, he taught them, and now we know better. Obviously, everybody doesn't know any better. How many millions, hundreds of millions of people who call themselves Christians, if they, you know, presume on God's graces, oh, it's grace alone, faith alone. And our Lord says in the scriptures that they should understand, because they're Bible alone people, in the scriptures that if you don't eat my flesh and you don't drink my blood, you have no life in you. Why do they miss that part? It's like the folks I was talking about before, when you start telling them about things like that, Jesus means that as much as he means everything else that he says. And when we understand that, then all of a sudden it takes on new life. I better start being attentive to eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and not faith alone. As obviously, because Jesus says it, if you don't eat his flesh and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So even in our day and age, in our own families, in our own circle of friends, there are people who think they know Jesus, and they don't. You've got to open their hearts to that. I shouldn't say you. The Holy Spirit working through you should open their hearts to these. We know from Revelation chapter 5 that our Lord, St. John's vision of our Lord, he's the only one that can open the scrolls. He's the only one that can open the writings. So his Holy Spirit working in us opens our... You can't read the scriptures without learning something new every single time you read them. I don't mean reading a passage or a few verses. I'm talking about reading through the Bible time and time again, and all of a sudden it's like, wow. Or if you read a commentary about some portion of scripture that's very familiar to you, and you go, wow, I never saw that before. It happens to me all the time. All the time. There's not a month that goes by that I'm not feeling like this big going, I've read that part 100 million times, not literally, and I didn't get it. Or not that I didn't get it, but I didn't get that part of it. And it's more important than everything else I knew about it. This is the reality of the Holy Spirit opening your eyes. It never stops. Never stops. We're always growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to do that because when our hearts burn, the heart's burning with it, it moved them to charity. I mean, these guys are, oh, stay with us because the night is far spent. After Jesus reveals himself, so when they said that, the day is far spent, it's almost night. After they have their dinner and everything, and our Lord reveals himself, it's nighttime, and it's that they immediately left. They're saying they want the Lord to stay, even they didn't know who he was at the time. They want to stay because they thought he was in danger. Everybody's in danger if you're walking around in the dark back in those days. Walking around the dark. They immediately go back and they face the dangers to get back to the apostles to tell them. Why? Because our hearts burn within us. It's not just because we learned something. It's because charity wells up within us. Our desire to serve God, to serve the Lord. This is what's going on here. If we don't burn with charity, I'll use the words of St. Augustine because he's a saint. And people look at me and say things like that. And go, oh, he's just a hard case. St. Augustine. Burn then in order not to burn with the fire with which the demons are going to burn. Talk about this passion. Burn with charity. Burn with that, because if you don't, you'll burn in another way. St. Augustine. It is up to us to let the Holy Spirit work in us and to be the conduit for these graces to be poured out on others. We cannot be selfish. St. Jose Maria Escriva says, these words of the disciples at Emmaus should rise spontaneously, if you are an apostle, from the lips of those you meet, who meet you along the paths of their life. That's kind of weird to think about that. Because our Lord ascended into heaven, he left us as the body of Christ. We are his mouth and his eyes and his ears and his hands here. And just what our Lord said to the apostles and made their heart burn, St. Jose Maria says, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing as an apostle, a messenger of our Lord Jesus Christ, not capital A apostle, if you're a messenger of our Lord Jesus Christ, you indeed should have people who will say, maybe not right when you say it, but in the future, did my heart not burn in some way? You know, that was the catalyst that moved me along to become a Catholic or to come back to the church, start attending Mass again. This is the reality. If we're doing what we're supposed to do, we should be burning with charity for other people because we should think about our own past. And I was at this or I was at that, but now you're a Catholic, or I was out of the church for over a quarter of a century and now I'm back. That's the Holy Spirit. And if he was that gracious to me over after 25 years of my nonsense, how much more should I be burning with charity for other people? Because I know it can happen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.